Sounding the alarm over an outbreak at a sporting event in Oshawa. Thousands of players, coaches, and fans warned they may have been exposed to the virus. Good evening. Health officials say close to 7,000 people should get tested immediately.
But reaching them is proving to be a major challenge in itself. Participants came from across Ontario and the country. CTV's John Woodward is at the Playground Global Facility in Oshawa. John, how big is this outbreak?
20 cases so far, but there could be many more, with cases detected as far away as Quebec. The 43rd annual Jane and Finch basketball tournament earlier in August describes itself as Canada's number one non-sanctioned basketball tournament. But it's making news for a different reason. Durham Public Health has declared an outbreak at the event. The agency is tracking upwards of 20 positive cases of COVID-19 currently identified. That's among the 7,000 people who may have attended. Cases from Durham, Peel, Toronto, and as far away as Quebec have been identified, but the sheer size of the event has overwhelmed Durham's contact tracers, so the medical officer of health is asking for help. We are reaching out through the media to help us make contact with anyone who may have attended this event, said Dr. Robert Kyle in a news release. It is very important that individuals who participated in this basketball tournament get tested as soon as possible. Basketball games are continuing at the host facility, the Playground in Oshawa. Players and their families are optimistic the right precautions are being taken.
A lot of people are wearing masks, right? Somebody's always frequently going around reminding people to wear masks. So I feel pretty safe because if anything, they have all our information.
Hoping those precautions are good enough to let the games continue. It's not clear whether COVID was spread on the court or in any of the social interactions that may have happened beside the game. Reporting live from Oshawa, I'm John Woodward. Nathan, back to you.
Thank you, John. The changing rules for Jays fans. We're live at Rogers Centre with what you need to know if you want to cheer on the boys of summer in person. And baseball fans aren't the only ones facing new protocols. We've got all that a little bit later.
Turning to the COVID-19 case count across the province, Public Health Ontario is reporting 639 new cases in its most recent update. 515 of those cases are among people who are not fully vaccinated or their status is unknown. Nearly 20,000 tests were processed in the last 24 hours. That puts the province's positivity rate at 2.8%.
502 additional cases are now considered resolved, raising that total to more than 545,000 over the course of the pandemic. No new deaths linked to the virus were reported today, but 9,453 lives have been lost to COVID-19 in Ontario.
Looking at the regional breakdown, 124 new cases were in the city of Toronto, with 97 in Peel Region and 91 in York Region. Hamilton has 64 new cases, with 30 in Durham, 18 in Halton, and 11 in Niagara. There are new concerns tonight over the severity of the fourth wave as we head into fall.
An outspoken epidemiologist says some modeling data is being withheld for political reasons. The claim coming amid a renewed push to target Torontonians who still have not been vaccinated. CTV's Natalie Johnson is in Thorncliffe Park with more. Natalie.
Hi, Nathan. Well, the city is now moving away from the mass vaccination clinic model, now operating fewer of them at reduced hours. They are now focused more on bringing vaccines to communities, ones that are vaccine hesitant or face barriers to the vaccine.
As COVID case counts creep back up, about 18% of eligible Ontarians still have not had one dose of the vaccine. And so Toronto is once again refocusing its immunization efforts, now operating hyper-local clinics in pockets with low vaccine uptake. Many people in this Thorncliffe Park complex still haven't had their first shot.
Yeah, this is the first one.
It's actually really great that they have a bus, more convenient.
It's near our house here too, so you can just come outside and just get the vaccine.
80% of the province's latest infections are among Ontarians who are not fully vaccinated. And experts stress those are the people most likely to experience severe outcomes from the virus.
It's a very, very, very small proportion of people that are vaccinated that actually land in hospital or have a poor outcome. It can happen. It's just really, really rare.
We are seeing the case counts going up, and that is concerning because there are some things that are just about to arrive. For example, schools and post-secondary education institutions opening in a couple of weeks.
A grim fall ahead was the picture painted by U of T epidemiologist Dr. David Fisman, who announced his resignation from the Ontario COVID-19 Science Advisory Table today after claiming that the table was withholding unreleased modeling data.
We will go out again with models, and this will just undergo the same stringent process as before. And there was nothing that we actually withheld from the public there.
But forecasts aside, experts say the fourth wave could fall with every shot. Next stop for Toronto's mobile clinics is at some TTC stops, including Victoria Park Station, beginning tomorrow. Pfizer and Moderna will be available for TTC customers, staff, and members of the public. And the science table says it is now in the process of working to understand how COVID-19 will affect this province in the coming months, working to generate scientific consensus for its fall forecast. Reporting live, I'm Natalie Johnson. Andrea, over to you.
Thank you, Natalie. Meanwhile, the province says 82% of eligible people in Ontario have now received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine, and more than 75% of eligible people have received their second dose. That represents more than 9.77 million people.
And our multi-platform writer Phil Sikoris has a story you'll want to check out. A Toronto restaurant owner is upset with anti-vaccine protesters outside her business yelling at customers and staff. That's at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
Hitting the beach is one way to try and beat the heat on a day like today, but not so easy if you're stuck in an apartment, especially if the air conditioner is not working. In a moment, we'll look at an innovative way and ways to keep cool. But first, Lindsay Morrison is here with a look at the current conditions and the heat warning that remains in effect. Lindsay.
And for good reason, Andrea. This is the heat warning behind me. We had another 30-degree day today here in the city of Toronto. In fact, we made it to 32, which is a new record for the 23rd day of August, and it is still hot. It's 31 now degrees in Niagara Falls, just watching that change. 31 in Brampton, 29 in Peterborough and Hamilton, but it continues to feel into the mid-30s, feeling closer to 40 in many areas, including for us here in Toronto at both Pearson International and along the Toronto Islands. It's going to be a very warm night once again as well. Winds are predominantly coming out of the north and the west, but really not providing much in the way of relief, at least not for those of us along the shoreline of Lake Ontario. A couple of showers impacting eastern sections of Ontario. Believe it or not, this is courtesy of the outer bands of what once was Tropical Storm Henri. We'll talk about our potential for active weather over the next couple of days and just how long this heat wave is expected to last. That's just ahead, but for now, back to you.
Thanks, Lindsay. The sweltering heat can be relentless.
Just imagine being stuck inside without air conditioning. It's a reality for some. CTV's Mike Walker joins us live with that story and some ideas when it comes to beating the heat. Mike.
Well, Nathan, we heard from some residents at a North York apartment building that has been without a working air conditioning system for weeks now. And while many have been racing to the stores to buy more portable fans, I spoke with one man who has found an innovative way to keep his apartment cool when it's this hot.
As the sun sizzles, residents at this apartment building on Neptune Drive in North York are sweating out the hot and humid conditions after the air conditioning system broke down nearly 3 weeks ago.
It said it was 31. Not surprised. It was really hot, especially the sun in the afternoon in my apartment. It heats up the place so fast. It's extremely uncomfortable, especially working from home.
The issue, according to the property management company, WJ Properties, is a broken compressor preventing the system from functioning at full capacity. In a notice sent to residents on August 9th, the company writes that the necessary parts have been ordered. Unfortunately, the parts will take 2 to 3 weeks to arrive and be installed.
I tried to open the door this morning, the balcony door. I live on the first floor, 10 minutes, and we had to close it down. We closed it down because the humidity is too bad.
With the city under a heat warning for the fifth day and temperatures reaching as high as 40 with the humidity, Danielle Carr had to buy and install a second air conditioning unit in her apartment window.
Because my husband has a medical issue right now, so I have to help him.
It's unbearable, you can't breathe.
Paula De La Fuente relying on multiple portable fans, but even that is problematic.
I have one of those portable AC in the living room in the meantime, but I can't even put another one in the rooms because the power shuts off. The breakers won't take another AC.
In the city's east end, Chris Campbell says his apartment can feel like a furnace when it's this hot, but he has found an inexpensive solution at the hardware store.
This is a piece of foam that I believe is used to form concrete. and I use it to insulate my windows.
Which he says cools the apartment down by
5 or 10 degrees.
Back on Neptune Drive, with no immediate relief in the forecast, residents are desperate for the repairs to begin.
Are we going to have an AC before we have to turn everything to the heat?
And the AC to come back on as soon as possible. Now, as for that apartment building on Neptune Drive, the property management company tells us they're still waiting for the parts to be delivered. At this point, there is no timeline for when the repairs will be done. Reporting live, I'm Mike Walker. Nathan, back to you.
Thank you, Mike. As Toronto remains under a heat warning, the city is once again extending the hours at certain pools. 8 outdoor pools will stay open until 11:45 tonight to help people stay cool. After 8 p.m., reservations are not required.
A daylight shooting rocked an East End neighborhood today. It happened just before 11:15 this morning near Cosburn and Pape. A man was shot and taken to hospital with serious injuries, but police say the injuries are not considered life-threatening. Investigators believe there is just one suspect. Anyone with information is asked to call police at 54 Division or Crime Stoppers.
The TTC is investigating a video of what it calls an incredibly dangerous and irresponsible stunt. In the video posted online, a man can be seen hanging onto the back of a moving subway train as it leaves Bathurst Station on Line 2. While the video appeared yesterday, it's believed this actually happened sometime before August 20th. The man was spotted by the subway operator at Spadina Station and he ran off. TTC spokesperson Stuart Green says this kind of stunt is obviously dangerous.
Unfortunately, they don't happen often, but we had a video a few weeks ago where people were wandering around in the subway tunnels. These are not things that people should be doing. They're obviously incredibly dangerous, but they're also illegal, and they can cause disruption to our service. So if we have to stop service to try and make sure the tracks are clear, that there's nobody walking around down there riding the back of a train, that delays service, and that's an inconvenience to our paying customers.
Green says there are a number of charges that can be pursued, including trespassing and improper use of transit resources.
We have an update tonight on a story we brought you about a coyote that injured a family pet in an East End neighborhood. Officials say it has been captured. We told you about the coyote in late July. It had chased a 10-year-old girl and attacked her pet Yorkie. The dog was injured but is recovering. Officials with the Toronto Wildlife Centre say they were able to track and capture the coyote. It will now be transferred to a sanctuary. Wildlife advocates say this isn't the best outcome for the animal, which they say is meant to live in the wild. They believe the animal became human conditioned because of constant feeding by members of the public. Remember to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know. In Afghanistan, Canadian military special forces are changing how they plan to get people out of the country.
The details of the mission are not being revealed because of security reasons, but the goal is to help more Afghans get to the airport safely. CTV's Raheem Ladani joins us in studio with the latest. And Raheem, those images are really difficult to look at.
Yeah, Nathan and Andrea, they really are. And this change in tactical approach, it comes as the Taliban has stepped up checkpoints, making it increasingly difficult for people to even get to the Kabul airport, with just 8 days before all Western military forces must be out of the country.
As the race to evacuate Afghanistan continues, some are scolding the Canadian government for acting too slow in getting people out.
They have applied a while ago, taking instructions from the Immigration Ministry's webpage. They haven't heard.
Defense Minister Harjit Sajjan tweeted that the latest evacuation flight departed Kabul yesterday, carrying 436 Canadian citizens and Afghan nationals destined for Canada. The federal government has promised to resettle 20,000 refugees, including those who have already fled the country. But critics say more needs to be done.
There are 4 million internally displaced persons, and so realistically, those people will likely not be resettled in other countries around the world, and there needs to be guaranteed protections for them.
G7 leaders will meet virtually tomorrow to talk about the crisis and likely urge the United States to extend its evacuation effort past the end of August. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau will attend and plans to push for sanctions against the Taliban.
Yes, we can talk about sanctions when we've already talked about our condemnation and disagreement with the Taliban as an entity.
but others fear that action could harm innocent lives.
But we need to ensure that when we talk about sanctions, that the Afghan people are not negatively impacted by the sanctions, because sometimes it has the effect of putting barriers in, for example, getting humanitarian aid to areas that are most needed.
Aid many people who are still stranded will need.
Now, the total number of people evacuated by Canada so far sits at more than 1,500, but immigration officials have only processed about half of the 6,000 claims from endangered Afghans seeking to flee. Reporting live, I'm Raheem Ladani. Andrea, back to you.
Thank you, Raheem. The World Health Organization is calling for a moratorium on booster shots to reduce global vaccine inequity.
So far, 4.8 billion doses have been delivered globally. 75% of that is in 10 countries, 10. And if you take Africa, the vaccine coverage is less than 2%. Do you think this is acceptable? We call it vaccine injustice.
The United Nations Health Agency is asking for a two-month pause on booster shots. The U.S., Israel, Hungary, and several other countries are either already offering or planning to offer third doses. The WHO says it's not clear if booster shots are effective, and nations with ample vaccine supply should be doing more to help those struggling to secure doses.
Meanwhile, the Food and Drug Administration in the States is giving full approval to Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. So what does that mean? According to health officials, this should help ease vaccine hesitancy as COVID-19 infections and hospitalizations rise across the U.S. U.S. President Joe Biden says the FDA's approval is an important moment in the fight against COVID-19, giving anyone with doubts the confidence to get the shot.
If you're one of the millions of Americans who said that they will not get the shot until it has full and final approval of the FDA, it has now happened. The moment you've been waiting for is here. It's time for you to go get your vaccination and get it today.
The decision comes the same day New York City announced all public school teachers and staff must get vaccinated.
Closer to home, in the province of Quebec, 376 new cases were reported. Among those, 320 of them are people who are not fully vaccinated. 99 people are in hospital because of the virus, with 31 of them in ICU. One more death due to COVID was reported today, bringing Quebec's total number of people who have died from coronavirus to 11,280 since the start of the pandemic. Heading to the West Coast, British Columbia is stepping up restrictions following a surge in cases. The new rules came into effect this morning. If BC is in your travels, keep that in mind, that vacation rentals are now limited to 5 guests or 1 additional household. Now, indoor gatherings are limited to 10 guests or 1 additional household. Well, heading into the second week of the federal election campaign, party leaders are making pledges from different parts of the country.
Policy promises today include cutting health care wait times, giving more workers say, and ending subsidies to oil and gas companies. CTV's Heather Butts reports.
The lack of support is even more apparent, and people have become fairly, desperate.
After hearing from families struggling to find a doctor, Justin Trudeau outlined his prescription for the health care system.
We know you need to get care when and where you need it.
A re-elected Liberal government would invest $6 billion to help cut wait times, another $3 billion to hire 7,500 family doctors, nurses, and nurse practitioners, plus $400 million over 4 years to expand virtual health care services. Trudeau was also asked about a video that Twitter flagged as manipulated media.
Would you be prepared to allow provinces to experiment with real health care reform?
Chrystia Freeland posted edited video of Erin O'Toole answering questions about privatized health care. In the original recording that Freeland shared a link to, O'Toole also noted that universal access remains paramount.
We posted the entire interview in its entirety, and I encourage all Canadians to take a look to see what Erin O'Toole has to say about what he sees on the future of health care.
He's dividing and misleading Canadians on a daily basis. And with their social media yesterday, they're importing American-style misleading politics.
Today, the conservative leader was focused on promising workers more power. Federally regulated employers with over 1,000 employees or $100 million in annual revenue would have to include worker representation on their boards of directors.
They meet as equals, able to advance their interests through mutually beneficial relationships.
The NDP leader is back in Quebec for the second time this campaign. Jagmeet Singh is promising to eliminate all subsidies given to oil and gas companies, cut Canada's emissions by more than half by 2030 with projects like electric transit, and provide $500 million to support Indigenous-led conservation.
Giving agency and power to Indigenous communities to be able to conserve their land, to be able to make choices around stewardship.
Three different positions on three key issues as leaders kick off the second week of the campaign. Heather Butts, CTV News, Toronto.
Meanwhile, Green Party leader Annamie Paul continued her campaign here in Toronto and included a stop this afternoon at Corktown Common.
It's important to recognize that Parliament, as it stands at this moment, is not a welcoming place for many people.
She promised to address the culture of federal politics if elected on September 20th. She describes Parliament as increasingly toxic and ineffective, resulting in talented politicians making an early exit or having potential candidates choose not to run at all. And a reminder, you can track every moment of this campaign on our website. We have a special section for you to visit at election.ctvnews.ca.
While we are feeling the extreme heat here, the oppressive temperatures have subsided somewhat in BC, and that cool down over the weekend meant some relief for crews battling infernos in White Rock Lake.
A lot of this is dead trees, lots of stuff.
Assessing from the air, but conditions remain very dry near Kelowna, and evacuees still do not know when they'll return home. The evacuation order for more than 1,300 properties remains, as does the alert for 850 others. The BC Wildfire Service says about 250 blazes continue to burn across the province.
Desperation in Tennessee, where flooding from record rainfall claimed at least 22 lives, including that of a local sheriff's close friend.
You know, they just went and got one of my best friends. It's recovered him when he was drowned in this. And sitting here thinking about that. Yeah. It's tough, but we're going to move forward.
Dozens of people are still missing. The force and magnitude of the flooding, almost impossible to fight. Homes destroyed, cars washed away. The search for survivors, a race against time. Forecasters say up to 430 millimeters of rain fell in less than 24 hours on Saturday.
To Tropical Depression Henri now, expecting to keep losing strength after drenching parts of upstate New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. The ferocious storm made landfall in Rhode Island Sunday, wreaking havoc in coastal areas from New Jersey to New England. The U.S. president declaring parts of the northeastern U.S. a disaster area with massive flooding and widespread power outages. Environment Canada issued a tropical cyclone statement for the Maritimes, bracing for a riptide and heavy sea swells. Some parts of Nova Scotia could see 20 to 40 millimeters of rain by tomorrow night.
Still ahead, determined and focused, we'll update you on Mike Shoreman's paddleboard journey across Lake Ontario as he heads home to the Canadian shore.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, we all know that we shouldn't speed. And if you get a speeding ticket, it can cause your insurance premiums to go up. One driver was shocked after getting several tickets that his insurance jumped to more than $14,000 a year. I'll have my report just ahead.
We weren't the only ones to break a temperature record today. That also happened in places like Burlington, Coburg, and Parry Sound. At one point today, downtown Toronto was the hot spot of Canada at more than 32 degrees. The record for us to beat at Pearson International was 31.7, so we just barely did that, but it happened. And through the night tonight, really not going to cool down all that much. Once again, we are going to be hovering around 20 degrees. The normal overnight low for this time of year is closer to 15. Factor in the humidity, it will be feeling like 25 or in some cases even closer to 30. So how long will this streak last? We've got all the weather details coming up on the other side of this break. You're watching CTV News. We'll be right back.
The best way to have low car insurance premiums is to maintain a clean driving record and avoid tickets and fender benders.
Even one ticket can cause your insurance to go up. But if you have several tickets, your insurance could quadruple. Pat Forden has a story on Consumer Alert. Pat, quite the story.
It is, Andrea and Nathan. If you get one speeding ticket, your insurance company may forgive you, but if you get two of them, your rates will go up. A Guelph man who had an accident and speeding tickets was shocked when his insurance jumped to more than $14,000 a year.
Don't even know how to comprehend it.
Tyler Marshallden of Guelph is a carpenter by trade. He has two speeding tickets on his record, both for going 15 kilometers over the limit. He also received two fines for not having his pink insurance slip in his truck. He was paying about $4,000 for insurance, but when he backed his truck into another vehicle, his rates jumped to more than $14,000 a year.
That's over $1,000 a month just for insurance, plus my truck payments because it's financed. Plus gas, it's going to end up costing me $2,000 a month to drive to work.
Marshallden says if he stays in Guelph, his insurance will be $8,500, but he was planning to move to Mississauga, which is why it increased to more than $14,000.
It's more economical for me to quit my job and work at a Tim Hortons for less than half the pay that I'm making and just not drive.
Mississauga, according to one of our studies, is in the top five most expensive car insurance jurisdictions in Ontario, whereas Guelph isn't.
Justin Tuin with lowestrates.ca says while insurance companies treat tickets differently, on average, one minor ticket could see a 0 to 10% increase in premiums, two tickets a 25% increase, and three tickets a 100% increase. Once you add in an at-fault accident, rates will go up substantially.
But the biggest strike against him are all of these tickets and infractions. And so his best chance at future low auto insurance rates is to have a clean driving record.
Marshallden still feels the rate is unfair.
If I had racing tickets or dangerous driving or stunt driving or something like that, I would be able to understand. But $14,000 is more than half the value of my vehicle. And to pay that annually is absurd.
Marshallden plans to shop around to see if he can find insurance cheaper somewhere else.
And speeding tickets will stay on your driving record for 3 to 6 years, and with some companies as long as 10, tickets issued by photo radar cameras will not affect your insurance premiums. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
All right, back to the forecast. We know the heat, a big issue.
Huge. And especially for folks who, you know, have health issues, Lindsay, you don't have a health issue. You're just pregnant, but I'm sure it's affecting you also.
Yes, well, pregnant individuals are included in the group that you want to check in on and make sure that they're nice and comfortable on a day like this, along with elderly family members or neighbors and children, too. It's a good idea to make sure that you drink plenty of water even before you feel thirsty. And if you have a cool place to go, that's where you want to be really over the next couple of days. Weather is brought to you by Trane for home comfort, cooling, and clean air. It's hard to stop a train. I'm expecting that this heat warning is going to remain in effect for the next couple of days. You can see just how widespread it is at this point, mainly along the north shore of Lake Erie, as well as Lake Ontario, into the Ottawa Valley and impacting our friends in southern Quebec as well. Overnight tonight, we drop to a not so low low of 20 degrees, and yeah, it will continue to feel like 25. Tomorrow, we're in for a little bit of a repeat, climbing into the 30s just about everywhere, including St. Thomas. We'll talk a little bit more about that risk of thunderstorms in just a moment, but wall-to-wall sunshine in places like Welland and Guelph, as well as Collingwood and Aurora, Burlington, even by the water, we're expecting it to be a 31-degree day, 30 for you in Uxbridge and 29 in Huntsville, but continuing to feel like 35. So here's what's left of what once was Tropical Storm Henri. It is now a tropical depression and going to become a post-tropical low through the overnight hours tonight before bringing some wet weather to our friends in Atlantic Canada. That's one area of low pressure that we're dealing dealing with. There's a couple of others to our west. We're sort of sandwiched in between. And with this area of high pressure, we're really not seeing much in the way of relief from the heat, at least not in the short range. Now, I mentioned the potential for a few thunderstorms tomorrow. This is mainly going to be in southwest Ontario. And we're expecting it to be a dry day for us in the GTA. A few showers going to be possible as we make our way into Wednesday morning. So plan accordingly. As the afternoon goes on, some clearing is expected. And then it's Thursday where the next front is going to move in. And with this, we're expecting a little bit of a cool down for Friday. Let me show you. But first, daytime high around 31 for Tuesday, 32 for Wednesday, and still up around 30 on Thursday. How's this for a nice change? I think it's music to the ears of many. 23 degrees for Friday, a refreshing feel, but don't get too used to it because gradually the temperature is going to climb once again as we make our way through the weekend and then into the early part of next week. It looks as though at that point we're going to be a little more unsettled, calling currently for a 60% chance of showers on Saturday under mostly cloudy skies. It's about a 30% chance on Sunday and Monday, but generally speaking, once again, we find ourselves with a pretty rain-free seven-day forecast. Again, though, with some relief from the heat arriving on Friday. That's your look at the weather for now. Nathan, over to you.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay. Still to come, getting back on stage. Mirvish Theaters are reopening and coming back strong. There's a full season of shows starting this fall. What you can expect to see after the break.
And we're also live at the Rogers Center. The Blue Jays are in action tonight, and soon there'll be new vaccine rules for fans. The details coming up. Baseball fans are streaming into the Rogers Center tonight.
The Blue Jays are in action, and soon there'll be new vaccine rules for anyone attending a game. Just part of the sporting world impacted by COVID-19. CTV's John Musselman is live with all the details. John.
Hi, Nathan. Yes, you're right. Thousands are filing into the Rogers Center right now for tonight's game against Chicago. Now, right now, you have to wear a mask inside the stadium, but those rules are going to change in the next couple of weeks. The Blue Jays returned to the Rogers Center almost a month ago. Fans have been attending games ever since. There is still no vaccine mandate or proof of a negative test required to get in. That includes tonight's game against Chicago. But that will all change beginning September the 13th. The team says after consulting with public health experts and industry partners, the Blue Jays will require fans to provide a proof of full vaccination or a negative COVID test for anyone 12 and up entering the stadium.
Being vaccinated is some sort of protection. I think that might help. So I think it's a good idea.
Makes sense to me, you know, get fully vaccinated.
We got to draw the line somewhere. And, you know, I give them all the kudos to, you know, that they're doing it.
I mean, I agree with it. There's no way we can advance and progress from the pandemic unless everyone's vaccinated, and we're going to keep experiencing waves of COVID-19 outbreaks unless everyone gets vaccinated. So I fully agree with it.
The Blue Jays play 12 more home games between September 13th and October the 3rd. This news comes in the wake of similar sports teams issuing new policies, including the Leafs, Raptors, and Toronto FC. Fans will need to provide proof of full vaccination or provide a negative test result when attending those venues. Today in Hamilton, the CFL Tiger Cats announced fans will need to be fully vaccinated or provide a negative test for the virus. This policy will be in place on September the 6th. That's when the Ticats play the Toronto Argonauts in Hamilton. This policy includes all employees, ticket holders, media, and volunteers. Meantime, this Thursday's Toronto Argos game with the Edmonton Elks has been postponed after several players on the Elks tested positive for COVID-19. And the vaccine mandate plus the proof of a negative test will be the two key components here. Also, though, the mask will still be worn inside the stadium as well. Reporting live, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back to you.
All right. Thank you, John. The Toronto International Film Festival has announced its vaccine policy. TIFF says anyone attending the festival that begins September 9th will need to show proof that they are fully vaccinated or that they tested negative for COVID-19 within 48 hours. This applies to staff, audience members, and visitors at all TIFF venues, except for drive-in theaters.
After being closed for almost a year and a half, all four Mirvish theaters are coming back this fall with a full season of shows.
Tonight, we honor what was lost, but we also commemorate what we found.
There is a 7-show main season subscription, a 3-show off-Mirvish subscription, and the return of 2 popular hits, Come From Away and Hamilton. Among the other highly anticipated shows this year are Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, and revivals of Jesus Christ Superstar and 2 Pianos for Hands. David Mirvish says he wants the first full season back to be spectacular and believes the lineup achieves that goal. Everyone taking in a show this year on stage, backstage, and in the audience will have to be fully vaccinated, except people 12 and under, and those with medical or religious exemptions.
The Queen's plate returned to Toronto this year with fans in attendance.
That's when it's time to show what you got.
The 162nd running of the Queen's plate was back at Woodbine Racetrack on Sunday. Canada's most decorated Olympian, Penny Oleksiak, was the event's celebrity ambassador. While the Queen's plate was not canceled last year, it didn't include fans. The Queen's Plate is North America's oldest running race.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
CTV Tonight. Kick back and relax. We've got a great lineup of shows to ease you into the week. It all starts at 7 tonight, right here on CTV.
I think I feel pretty safe because, if anything, they have all our information.
Updating our top stories, up to 7,000 people should now be getting tested for COVID-19 following an outbreak at a sporting event in Oshawa. The 43rd annual Jane and Finch basketball tournament took place earlier this month. Up to 20 cases have been connected to that event so far, including people in Peel, Toronto, and Quebec.
We are seeing the case counts going up, and that is concerning because there are some things that are just about to arrive. For example, schools and post-secondary education institutions opening in a couple of weeks.
The shift to hyper-local vaccine clinics is ramping up as we look ahead to the coming months and what this fourth wave could mean for Ontario. Epidemiologist Dr. David Fishman is predicting a grim fall as he resigns from the province's COVID-19 science advisory, claiming it's withholding modeling data. The table's science director says that isn't the case.
I tried to open the door this morning, the balcony door. I live on the first floor, 10 minutes, and we had to close it down. We closed it down because the humidity is too bad.
The city remains under a heat warning, but residents of a Toronto apartment building still don't have working air conditioning in their units. The building on Neptune Drive has been without AC for nearly 3 weeks. The property management company says the parts needed to fix the problem have been ordered.
And happening right now, Mayor John Tory visiting a Scarborough mosque vandalized over the weekend. Officials say the Bait al Jannah Islamic Center, they discovered the break-in on Sunday morning and say this isn't the first time they've been targeted and have reported several other incidents to police.
And remember to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know. The resignation of a member of Ontario's COVID-19 science and modeling table is one of the stories making news.
It's also the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. For a look ahead, we are joined by co-anchors Reshmi Nair and Nick Dixon. Nick?
Well, Andrea, you know, we spoke to Dr. David Yuni on Live at 5:30 this evening, and he denied that there's any political influence. But we are going to look at the push and pull between politics and medicine throughout this pandemic year. David Fishman raising some points suggesting that some data is being sort of withheld or sort of, you know, carefully released. So we're going to get into the ethics of that and the sort of strain on the sort of two sides here as we talk about what's happening in the pandemic going forward into this fourth wave.
And Reshmi, you're also following the very latest developments from Afghanistan.
Yes, Nathan, the Canadian military has special forces there saying that they are successful in helping some Canadians and other Afghans who helped Canadian troops get out of that country. But we see the chaos outside the Kabul airport. It turned deadly earlier today. We're going to discuss all of that coming up on CP24 tonight.
Thank you. CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
It's quite a reversal for global commodity prices today. The price of oil is climbing after 7 straight losing sessions. Tara Weber from BNM Bloomberg has the details.
Hello. West Texas Intermediate is up nearly 5% to end the day. This comes after we saw the longest stretch of declines in nearly 2 years last week. The price of oil is really rallying alongside commodities as well as other equities. So what's behind it? Well, we are seeing more positive sentiment in financial markets. China has made progress in containing the fast-spreading Delta variant, and the U.S. dollar has declined. And that is boosting the appeal of commodities like oil that are priced in the currency. National Bank is shaking up stock trading in Canada. The bank has confirmed it's bringing in zero commission pricing for its direct brokerage customers. This will include all online trades on Canadian and U.S. stocks and exchange-traded funds with no minimum required. That means National Bank is now the first major Canadian bank to do so, as the no-fee structure is sweeping across the online brokerage industry. It's not yet clear, however, when its pricing change will come into effect. And Bitcoin is back in the headlines. The cryptocurrency has topped $50,000 US for the first time since May. One factor giving Bitcoin a bit of a renewed boost today, PayPal says it will allow customers in the UK to make crypto transactions. That would mark its first international expansion of PayPal's crypto service beyond the US. The Canadian dollar is up slightly to 79.03 against the U.S. greenback. American benchmark oil, WTI, is up $3.50 to $65.64 a barrel. Alberta's heavy crude, Western Canadian Select, is also up substantially to $52.60 a barrel. And the TSX Composite Index put 138 points on the board to end the day at 20,477. And that's the latest from BNN Bloomberg. I'm Tara Weber.
Just ahead, a grueling 140-kilometer journey across Lake Ontario, making history and raising awareness. An update on Mike Shoreman's paddleboarding voyage after the break.
Tonight, we're learning new details about Canada's role in the Afghan evacuation effort, how elite forces are managing crowds and chaos in the panic push to get on a plane. That story and more later on CTV National News.
A reminder, the CTV News at 6 podcast is available as a download every weeknight, and you can also listen to the show live on News Talk 1010.
Get Toronto's top stories, breaking news alerts, and watch live. Download the CTV News app.
The heat and humidity may be keeping some of us inside, but others are embracing the outdoors.
That includes one of the youngest residents at the Toronto Zoo. The zoo posted these photos of Mila, the Amur tiger cub, exploring her outdoor habitat for the first time and getting used to her surroundings. The endangered animal was born at the end of April to mom Maisie as part of a conservation breeding program. And finally tonight, we have an update to a paddleboarder's progress as he makes his way toward Toronto.
Mike Shoreman began his 140-kilometer journey in Rochester yesterday morning and is proving up for the challenge. Here's some video shot by a member of his team who says the conditions are difficult but manageable. Shoreman has been rotating between standing and kneeling, adapting to swells and to avoid getting dizzy. The Whitby man hopes to become the first person with a physical disability to paddleboard across international waters. Doctors diagnosed him with Ramsey-Hunt syndrome in 2018. It's a shingles variant that impacted his mobility and mental health. He's now hoping to raise $100,000 for Jack.org, a mental health organization for youth. Shoreman hopes to be back in Toronto by tomorrow afternoon, and he's doing very well. So far, so good.
Let's hope the weather helps him out there, Lindsay.
Well, it's going to be another hot one tomorrow, hopefully, for that arrival. And nice to see Mike wearing a hat, hopefully wearing some sunscreen as well. Here's the heat warning that remains in effect. These are the temperatures we're concerned about and the Humidex values as well, feeling like 40 in some areas. In fact, it continues to be temperatures in the 30s for places this hour. Oakville, Burlington, Grimsby, St. Catharines, and close to it in areas like Niagara Falls, Ajax, and Clarington. In addition to the heat and humidity, with weather like this, there's concern about air quality, and pollution levels are expected to be moderate for tomorrow. So plan your day accordingly. Maybe if you're a runner, you plan it for the early or later times of day. We're hot in the short range, a cool down, at least temporarily in the long range, and a few showers possible as we make our way into the weekend. That's your look at the weather. Andrea and Nathan, over to you.
Thanks, Lindsay. Be sure to join Pauline Chan later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 Tonight with Rashmi Nair and Nick Dixon begins momentarily on CP24.
For Lindsay and all of us at CTV News, have a good night.